here we sit on a Saturday night where the Lansing State Journal has called for the Michigan State Board of Trustees to resign. And I'm going to welcome in Michigan State Board of Trustee Mitch Lyons, who joins us in studio on the Saturday Night Huge Show on CBS Sports Radio. And Mitch, it's been an unbelievable week for everybody connected to Michigan State.
Yeah, to say the least. And before we even get started, I just once again want to reiterate my apologies to the survivors of this Larry Nassar, who was a monster that went unchecked for way too long. And you know, my heart goes out to those victims that survived that. And as a father, I mean, it's gut-wrenching to think what those parents are going through with the extended families, and I just want to acknowledge them before we even get started.
A lot of people ask that question about Nassar. How could that go on so long from a Michigan State Board of Trustee perspective? And you've been on the board. You were elected. It's an elected position here in Michigan. January 1st, 2011, your eight-year term began at Michigan State University. When was the first time at a Board of Trustee meeting or in your email circulation that the name Larry Nassar was brought up?
I was not aware of Larry Nassar. I know he's a nationally renowned doctor, apparently, in the gymnastics world. I had never heard the guy's name until September of 16, when the Indy Star broke with their article, and Rachel Denhollander came forward. That was the first time we were briefed as to what had transpired.
And who briefs you in that Michigan State boardroom?
Our legal team and, marketing folks. There's a lot of people in a meeting at any given time, but that was brought to the table, and that's when I began to understand who Larry Nassar was and the magnitude of what he'd perpetrated on innocent victims.
And when you talk about magnitude, Mitch, was there a sense of urgency with eight board members, right? Eight board members in that room, correct, for
correct.
Michigan State or who are elected?
Right.
September 2016, was there a sense of urgency that we, as a university, need to move quickly on this Nassar story?
It was, needless to say, it was concerning right from the get-go for me as we kind of understood the timeline of what was alleged, how far back this went, how many victims had come forward at that point, which, it grew significantly from that point forward. But even then, I think, it was well over 50 or 60 people that had come forward in the lawsuit. And, as we understood the timeline, I knew we had a significant problem from the time of 2014 when case was brought, investigated, Title IX, all that. He was cleared from the Title IX office. He was clear. Charges were not brought.
From Ingham County, which is...
From Ingham County.
The local jurisdiction.
Yes. That's what we were told, but charges were not brought, and he came back to work. But protocols were supposed to have been put in place. And it became clear in that meeting that there was uncertainty whether that was ever expressed in the clinic.
You mean the protocols?
The protocols, whether they were enforced or not, whether that was communicated. And that was the first significant red flag to me that I said, I don't know all about, at that point I didn't know, everything and the details before 2014 as far as who may have been told or not told or who didn't pass it up the line or whatnot. But I knew we had a problem from 2014 because protocols were supposed to have been changed in our clinic on campus.
And that was using gloves and having a member of the opposite sex in there.
Having another person in the room during these treatments and having gloves on. And so that was a significant point in my mind was we are definitely on the lam from that point forward. I mean, we had a breach in protocol and the ball was dropped clearly. So at that point, we're kind of waiting for more information at that point. Cause I remember asking then in that boardroom, Dean Strample.
And this is September, 2016.
Correct. And this is the first day we heard it. And we kind of got a sense of the timeline of what was alleged. And I said, you know, why don't we, you know, are we getting rid of Dean Strample, William Strample, who was the guy that was ultimately in charge of the clinic?
Dean of Osteopathic Medicine, right, at Michigan State.
Right. And it wasn't clear that that had been communicated. So at that point...
you ask in September 2016, are we getting rid of the dean of Michigan State's osteopathic medicine facility because protocols weren't followed?
Well, it was clear that a ball had been dropped. Protocols were to have been changed, and so there was some ambiguity as to whether that communication was sent. And I remember, it's been a while, but I was thinking back to that, and there was a sense that they were looking into it, trying to find that communication, whether it was a letter, emails, whatever, to firm that up. And things happen so fast. The next thing I know, January of 17, the administration hired Pat Fitzgerald, former federal prosecutor, to head up an internal investigation to find out the who, what, why, when, and where of the Nassar timeline, to see where balls may have been dropped, who knew what, when, and to thoroughly review that. And I remember the first meeting when they were in there, and I reiterated then, I said, and as they went through the timeline, as they were helping us understand what they had found, or were going to look at and whatnot. And I remember saying the same thing then, guys, I said this 4 months ago that 2014, we've got a real problem. That is a real problem.
And what's the rest of the room, administration, if Luana Simon was in there, Mark Hollis, other board members, what's the tone, the temperature of that room on taking some action?
I don't remember anybody calling for anyone's head necessarily.
Like, we need to fire. I think, about Dean Strample. Yeah, we got to move on to him.
Well, in my mind, it was pretty clear that at the very least, he was the point of contact.
He was your first guy that you looked at, Mitch, and said, this guy's in charge of Nassar, right?
For sure. There's not too many, as I recall, there's not too many steps from there. If he was supposed to do that, who checks on him, and who who's ultimately, obviously...
Nassar's boss, right?
Yeah, ultimately, the president is the head of, is the head of the university. And, so there's not that many jumps from a dean to the president. So the writing was kind of on the wall in my mind that, but now still we were in the investigative phase trying to understand this whole thing. But I still at that point didn't understand why we had, had not terminated Dean Strample. So,
and Dean Strample, is he still on faculty right now at Michigan State?
He is no longer the dean. He took a medical leave in January.
But he's never been terminated at Michigan State, correct?
Not to date, no.
Now, would that termination be the Board of Trustees at Michigan State, or would that be Luana Simon or other administrators? How does that work?
Yeah, so the board is not, we don't handle personnel actions. I think it's important to kind of help your listeners understand what the board is at Michigan State University. It's a board of eight people that are elected. Two every 2 years are up for election. It's kind of a rolling board, if you will. Every 2 years, possibly two new come on, or at least if they're, can be the same people if they're voted back on. But we are not a board that is on campus every day. We meet 6-7 times a year. We have a retreat in the summer each year to delve into a little deeper on issues and whatnot. So we're not there, we're not the boots on the ground. Okay, we rely on the administration to be the boots on the ground. We have general supervision of the university and its funds. So we rely on getting information from the administration, president, provost, on down. And so when we come in to a meeting, and whether it's voting on various things, fiscal type things,
stadium renovations,
whatever it is,
new building for science.
Right? Sure. Yeah. So we're being briefed and updated by the administration. They're the boots on the ground. They're there day to day. So, we rely heavily on them to get us the information. So, I just thought it was important to clarify that. But,
so the dean, if a dean would be fired, is that provost or is that Luana Simon? Who would make that move at Michigan State?
You know, that would be the administration. I mean, provost or president directly. I'm not exactly sure who has that, but it's certainly handled within the administration.
We are live across North America each and every Saturday night. We're all about huge opinions, yours and mine. We also are welcoming in our studio guest, current Michigan State Board of Trustee Mitch Lyons, former Big Ten football player with the Spartans, also played in the NFL with the Steelers and the Falcons. And Michigan State's under fire. Some will say rightfully so. There has been a ton of oversight. How deep and how much is still out there with investigations. NCAA, Michigan Attorney General's Office. What will be the end result? We don't know. And Mitch came in studio. He is, I will preface this with, he is a friend. Also, he does appear on my statewide show in Michigan each and every week. Mitch, we were talking before the last break about January 2017 with everything connected to the Nassar story, who was sentenced to 40 to 174 years on those federal child pornography charges this past Tuesday. So the investigation is commissioned. The Michigan State Board of Trustees in that room hear that they're going to look at the timeline. What's the end result of that investigation?
Well, Pat Fitzgerald's hasn't even finished yet. I mean, they've done months, obviously.
It's like a $5 million investigation so far, right?
Yeah, I believe so. And months of interviews and whatnot. And the thing that's comforting to me, I guess, out of that is there's no evidence that he has found of criminal wrongdoing. Now, having said that, that's not good enough in my mind. I mean, criminal is one thing. Obviously, we dropped the ball somewhere, either through procedures, protocol, common sense.
That would be the oversight part I just talked about.
I'm talking about, how does a trainer or a coach get told something of that magnitude, and it just kind of gets brushed under. It's hard for me to comprehend how a guy like Nassar, as a father, it's so hard to comprehend how so your daughter could go to a coach or a trainer and not get any benefit of the doubt on something like that.
And what's your investigator telling the Michigan State Board of Trustees in that boardroom about his interviews or that timeline on how it stopped at coaches and trainers? And by the way, female coaches and trainers, for the most part, females telling females with a female president, which kind of takes a story in another direction, not part of this Me Too world we're in right now. What was the investigator telling the board?
Well, he really, we really haven't learned anything more than what was found on the Michigan State University police investigation, which, to my knowledge, I'm fairly certain that the Attorney General office was involved in jointly with the Michigan State University police as well. So while I understand Bill Schuette, our Attorney General here in the state of Michigan, has commissioned an independent investigation former Kent County Prosecutor William Forsythe.
Yeah, out of from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, so all the findings that I have heard, I haven't heard anything that contradicts those criminal investigations.
So there's nothing in that internal investigation commissioned by Michigan State and the Board of Trustees. There's nothing you guys have heard from the investigation that stands out as, oh my God, how'd this happen?
Oh, there's plenty that stands out that says, oh my God, how did this happen? But what I'm saying is there's nothing where I feel like somebody had criminal intent that they were covering up, that anybody knew that Nassar was a monster.
Well, what's the biggest thing the investigator told you, Mitch, that oh my God moment, how'd this happen, that you heard in that board?
Well, again, in my mind, it's the line in the sand in 14 where, okay, maybe nobody knew he was a monster, but the bottom line is protocol was to have been changed in the clinic. Okay, that doesn't mean he wouldn't have been doing stuff with off campus and whatnot. But as far as what we can control on campus, we dropped the ball. Protocols were to have been put in place. Somebody in the room, wear gloves at all times. And those weren't followed through on. So for, you know, 16 more months, this guy was doing what he felt like and was unchecked.
He wasn't answering, Nassar wasn't answering to anybody at Michigan State.
Well, he wasn't, you know, wasn't being enforced. No one was doubling the double check to make sure that he was doing what he was supposed to do. And when the Indy Star article came out, this is all public record, but he was asked if he had been following protocol, and he said not all the time. So that's when we immediately fired him. But in my mind, that's obviously way too late. And at that time, I remember when I first heard this in September of 16, I was like, geez, you know, out of the girls that have come forward already, how many of those were treated after 14? And it was under 10 at that time, which obviously that's grown significantly. So I knew that was a significant problem. Again, do I think anybody on Michigan State's campus covered this up knowing that the guy was a monster? No, this guy hid behind the fact that a very sensitive procedure, obviously, intravaginal treatment, and obviously in my mind that would be a pretty uncomfortable treatment regardless if the guy was a pervert, sexual predator or not. So when you have all these people that are telling you, oh, this guy's the best, he helps U.S. gymnasts, U.S. Olympic team and whatnot, you know, I can see in some realm why people maybe would think, oh yeah, you're misunderstanding this, he's, you know, it's just because it's just such an, you know, frankly, a treatment that probably not a lot of people are signing up to get. It's highly uncomfortable, and it's awful that this happened.
That $5 million ongoing investigation has not been documented on paper, correct?
Yeah, that's the thing that's kind of been a bit of a frustration as well. Again, that investigator, they were hired by the administration. The board was informed that they'd been hired by the administration.
And so you didn't commission. The administration,
right.
The decision makers, commissioned what is close to a $5 million internal investigation, but nothing has been put on paper.
Yeah, we've never been handed anything on paper. And it's, some other trustees and myself have discussed that. And then come to find out, when Mr. Schutte a few months back had asked
the Michigan Attorney General,
when he had asked to see the report when it was done, and you know, Michigan State responded that there was going to be no written report. My eyebrows were raised. I wasn't aware that we weren't going to have findings.
Who didn't want a written report in the Michigan State University administration? Who called for that?
I can't answer that, to be honest with you, because I wasn't even aware of that. So, let's just say, as a father, as a husband, I'm very encouraged that this is going to get another look, and I hope everything's corroborated. But I think it's important for the survivors, their families, Michigan State alumni, citizens throughout the state and the U.S. that we have a independent investigation done that puts to bed any question whether there was criminal wrongdoing or not in terms of covering up and just where the ball was dropped that this happened. I mean, how was this allowed to happen for over 20 years on Michigan State's campus and elsewhere?
Mitch Lyons, current Michigan State Board of Trustee, joining us in studio on the Saturday Night Huge Show. We're spending time in studio with current Michigan State Board of Trustee Mitch Lyons, former Spartan tight end, also played in the NFL with the Steelers and the Falcons. He has been on the Board of Trustees at Michigan State since his 8-year term began on January 1st, 2011. He also was the only Board of Trustee member to step out and break ranks 1 week ago and call for the resignation of Luana Simon. And for some of you thinking, well, he's just doing this for posturing, he is not seeking re-election. And that was delivered prior to him calling for Luana Simon to resign, who did resign with the pressure on her in the university earlier in the week. Also, Mark Hollis, the AD, has resigned. We'll talk about that. And also the ESPN Outside the Lines special that will air at 9 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday morning, focusing on sexual assault oversight, alleged oversight by Michigan State basketball and football and the athletic department. Mitch, I do want to go back to the timeline. So we talked about January 2017. You found out about Nassar in that Board of Trustees meeting September 2016 with the Indy Star story, and then Nassar was terminated at Michigan State. January 2017, you still are raising flags in that boardroom. The investigation is commissioned by the administration with no paper trail. So it's January 2017. Where do things go from there? What's that temperature with the other Board of Trustees in those meetings?
Well, we continue to get updated by the investigator. And I will say, Pat Fitzgerald's a former federal prosecutor. I don't have any question in my mind that he is ethical in what he's doing. I don't mean to, I don't want it to be conveyed that I'm trying to insinuate that.
Did he tell you guys we should put this on paper, the investigation? Did he ever tell the board that?
I don't recall a conversation. I mean, we you know, he'd come in, they'd throw a PowerPoint up and kind of give us the overview, you know, and I don't have any reason to think that he's not, you know, on the up and up. Obviously, I mean, the guy's a former federal prosecutor. He's not going to throw his name. It's because for the conspiracy theorists, I think there's a cover up. Pat Fitzgerald, in my heart of hearts, is not part of that. So I trust the man, and I believe what he's telling us. So that continues on. I mean, that continues through pretty much all of 17. Obviously, there's a vast amount of.
So, how many times did you guys meet between January 2017? Was it every other week? Was it conference calls? How often did you meet on this Nassar situation?
Yeah, our scheduled board meetings are, probably in 17, I think we have six or seven, essentially 2-day meetings. We have a all-day Thursday work session, and then the public open meeting on Fridays.
Was there any urgency in these Board of Trustee meetings for action on whether it was Strample, which you called into question in September 2016, whether it was on removing Mark Hollacy, AD, coaches, trainers, Luana Simon? Was there any call for action from you or other board members in those meetings in early 2017?
Strample was a concern from the get-go for me, just because it was so obvious that a ball had been dropped. So I'm not going to say it was continually talked about. The sense that we all had, and I think what was happening in all of our minds, was that we were trying to have this investigation play out, and we're getting updated on it as it goes forward. And it's they're hunting people down from 20 years ago, I mean, in terms of trainers, athletes, and whatever. So this is a time-consuming deal to get these interviews completed and compile, facts, figures, dates, information, and whatnot. So that's going on throughout the year. We're getting updates, okay? And we're not getting any information that's not going along with what had been previously investigated by the campus police in conjunction with the Attorney General's office. So. You know, things are kind of happening kind of fast, and you're getting updates, and before you know it, it's obviously the civil litigation is going on, and I think the one fault, a significant fault that we had,
the Board of Trustees,
from the administration standpoint, is I think we let the fear of civil litigation impact how we came across or communicated to the public. Okay, I think we've come across as insensitive and uncaring at times, or just non-communicative. And a lot of that has to do with just the legal side of the civil litigation. And it's gotten to the point where I think it's in my mind, it really just lessen the victims, and I think we took the light off the victims, and that's really where it needs to be. And so I think we were a little paralyzed by that. But then you get to, you know, December 17
of 2017.
Yeah, December of last year. And you know, the other thing that came to mind that we were never informed of was that the board, I'm saying, was never informed of, was that Nassar came back to work before the criminal investigation was actually closed.
Who signed off on let Nassar come back before the criminal investigation was closed? To what Michigan State did that?
I don't know that exactly off the top of my head. But that was in the press, or I read something like that, and I'm like, and I texted a few of my board members and just said, did I miss something along the way? Or, you know, so we called an immediate phone call. I think it was a phone call or a meeting the next day, because all of us were a little perturbed that tidbit had been never communicated to us. And
from September 2016 in the original Nassar conversation, the board of trustees at Michigan State didn't find out until December 2017 that Nassar was allowed back to work on campus at Michigan State 16 months before the criminal investigation ended.
Yeah, and the way it was explained to us was that the police investigation had been completed. Indication had been given from the prosecutor's office that there would not be charges brought. However, the prosecutor had never actually closed the book on the case. So while maybe there was assurance at some level that there were not going to be charges, in my mind, from a protocol standpoint, that's a problem that you didn't have that tied up in a nice tidy bow, that there was going to be no charges brought. So, you know, that was kind of a, you know, another point along the way where I've had a feeling like, you know, either we don't get information in a timely fashion, or
the board doesn't.
Yeah, or we don't get it at all. I think one thing that this, looking back on it, I believe this administration was too micromanaged.
By who? Luana? Mark?
I'm talking about not the athletic administration as much as just the administration at Michigan State University, and, president on down. I feel like we were given the information that they wanted us to know. So and that's even on lesser issues than the Nassar. I've had that frustration in the past. But that was kind of icing on the cake, that something as significant as that had not been shared with the board.
In studio, I have Michigan State Board of Trustee Mitch Lyons talking about the Nassar Michigan State story that has spun into the resignation of Michigan State President Luana K. Simon, Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis. It's not over. ESPN Outside the Lines will have their TV special, 9 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday morning, focusing on Spartan Secrets, as their headline read, in regards to Tom Izzo at Michigan State basketball and Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State football. A lot of allegations out there. What's real? What's the truth? It's a different culture right now in America, and Michigan State doesn't have a president, and they don't have an AD. And still a lot of questions remain to be answered by the NCAA investigation and the Michigan Attorney General's office. And Mitch was kind enough to join us in studio. I will let everybody know he's a good friend. Also appears weekly on my statewide show, Heard Afternoons in Michigan. He has been one of the few, if not the only, honest, open voice in the last week. Broke ranks, said that Luana Simon needed to resign when the board gave her a resounding public support PR press release. Tom Izzo, 8 days ago, publicly supported Luana K. Simon. Mark D'Antonio, 8 days ago, publicly supported Luana K. Simon. Things changed in a hurry. And speaking of urgency, Mitch, and change, you were talking about December 2017. Just, you know, a little over a month ago, you guys are learning more information. You have questions. There's no paper trail for the $5 million investigation. Nassar was allowed back in 2014 to work for, what was it, 16 months before the Ingham County prosecutor closed the case. Is that correct?
I don't recall exactly when the Ingham County prosecutor closed the case, but he came back on campus. Yeah.
So when do things change, Mitch? When does this heat start in that Michigan State Board of Trustee room, meetings, conference calls? When is there finally some urgency? When do you feel it?
Well, for me, and I don't want to speak for the rest, but for me, it came in December of 17 when, number one, I was a little concerned that, not more than a little, that regarding the fact that we had never been made known that he'd come back to campus before the criminal investigation had officially been closed. So that's number one in December. And the second one would be when I broached the subject again with our president as to why Strampo was still on campus.
When was that?
December. I don't know the exact date. Would have been the Thursday of our board meeting. And, you know, she indicated that he was not fired back in September of 16 because she didn't have board support for that. And I had a real problem with that because, number one, no one ever voiced an opinion back in September of 16 that we should not get rid of Strample.
He's the dean of MSU College of Osteopathic Medicine.
Who had not implemented the protocol changes that, or seen that they were implemented. He didn't confirm that they had been implemented. Nassar continued to see patients without being supervised with another adult in the room or wearing gloves. So the tone changed at that point for me.
Is Luana K. Simon lying at that point? Do you listen to her and say she is flat out lying to the board?
I seriously question what her motives were with that, because that just did not happen, and I lost a lot of respect for that. And number two is the board doesn't make personnel decisions, hiring and firings. I mean, again, we're on campus for meetings 6 or 7 times a year. We're not on campus running the day-to-day operations.
You don't have offices where you're there every day.
The 8 of us share a little office, okay? So it's not like we're in the administration building on a daily basis by any means. And so that indicated to me that I needed to be careful going forward. And I was hesitant from that point forward.
At what point in your mind, or in a meeting, or to another board member, did you say, we need to look at cleaning house, whether it's Strample, whether it's Luana K. Simon, then the Michigan State president, or even Mark Hollis? What was the thought process, Mitch, for you? With other board members, or personally, where you said, we need change?
Well, again, I mean, in my mind, I couldn't understand why we hadn't severed relationships with Dean Strample back in September of 16.
Is there anything today that you still wonder why he lasted so long? Any reason why?
I don't know. I don't know if it was just paralysis of analysis, the fact that we're waiting for this full investigation to go on. But in my mind, it didn't take, I felt like the investigation could have gone on. The bottom line is it was clear the ball had been dropped, and he dropped it. So that investigation could have still proceeded without him in that role. So I was always uncomfortable with that. I did have conversations with fellow board members, you know, periodically over that next year. And in my mind, I can't exactly remember conversations with other board members, but in my mind, it wasn't far from Dean Strample to the president.
Well, what is that? What is that? That hallway. If the president needs to talk to a dean, what's that pecking order at Michigan State?
Dean, provost, and then president. So, you know, it wasn't a big jump. So, you know, as this thing grew, and obviously it culminated when the victim's statements, you know, when they were able to, which was part of their agreement when Nassar took the plea or pled guilty or whatever, that was part of the deal. The victims could make their victim statements, and I should say the survivors could make their survivor statements. And obviously that put faces to this thing and just how significant it was. Not that you didn't know it was significant. Obviously it's a horrific thing, a big number, but when you sit there and see 150 or hear 156 different stories of how this guy breached the trust that a doctor has. You know, he's the expert. They're going, these parents and these girls are going to this guy because he is the expert in the field. He's got these pictures on his walls of the Olympic gymnast, you know. Everybody's singing his praises, Michigan State included. And to see them go up in front of Judge Aquilina and give those statements was powerful, and it impacted myself. It impacted others on the board, and it impacted, you know, obviously people across the nation. And that you know, that's obviously when the seat got real hot.
So you mentioned other board members are impacted by this testimony, which was last week, and 8 days ago. With all that testimony going on, everything happening nationally, worldwide media converging on that courthouse and on Lansing, Michigan, you're going into a board meeting 8 days ago, and there's a lot of reports, and there's a feeling that Luana Simon could be sent packing by the board, either fired or forced to resign. And then there's a big turn to this story on the same day victims are testifying in that Ingham County, Michigan courtroom, that the Michigan State Board of Trustees give a public vote of support for Luana Simon. So how in that meeting, Mitch, what's going on with you talking to other board members, and how do you guys come up, and ladies, with the decision to give her a public vote of support?
There was much discussion that day of, you know, whether Luana, and this was just, you know, I'm not going to get into great detail, but amongst ourselves as to whether she could survive this. And I firmly, you know, believed and shared that there's no way she's going to survive this. And again, I kept going back to 14, you know, we'd talk in circles and people would, you know, come up with different scenarios and different ideas. And I go, guys, for me, it all comes back to 14. The ball was dropped. Strample screwed it up. You know, go right up the line. And and I think it was just, I don't know. I don't want to speak for everybody else. I don't know what the holdup was.
How'd the vote?
In my mind, there was no reason to keep her on because the firestorm was just going to keep getting bigger. The you know, the grass fire spreading up the hillside and the wind's blowing 70 miles an hour.
So how'd she get that vote of support out of that meeting with so many questions that you and other board members had?
I think the feeling was the majority weren't ready to move on that.
So how is a decision made by your board with 8 members? Does it have to be 4 or 5? Does it have to be at least half? How do you move forward on a decision? in that room that 8 days ago in that room without naming names.
Yeah,
so, how many of the eight?
So
were,
to be clear, that wasn't right. That wasn't a meeting. So we weren't voting on anything at that meeting. That was just a work session. That
right.
We called to discuss, you know, the situation. So there was no votes going on that day. But with the press outside and whatnot, and you know, not enough clearly in favor of severing ties with her or asking her to resign that day. There was a feeling that if you didn't give a vote of support, you know, it's obviously a vote of not support. So I think that was the feeling. My feeling was that I didn't feel good about that at all. And I kicked myself for walking out and standing out there with the other trustees that day. Was very frustrated leaving the building and the drive back home. And I just got to the point where I got out of bed that night and I just started writing a letter to my an email to my fellow board members. And I just said, you know, I can't sleep. I'm not comfortable with this. And I just indicated that I was going to give my statement contrary to the vote of support, or not vote, but statement of support.
And that was a week ago tonight.
Nah, that was, yeah, it was Saturday night last week. So
how
and
hard
I, and
was
I gave him some time. Right. I gave him some time. I said, listen, I'm not, I'll give you time to respond to me. And they did. And, you know, I talked to many of them. And, you know, I had some communications. I had our chairman who had conversations with Luana, and I just I said, I think she needs to step down. And if she's not willing to do that, then I'm going to go forward with the statement. And she wasn't willing to do that at that time, so I made my statement. And it wasn't, and again, I indicated in my letter, it wasn't, you know, a lot of people, you know, say he's trying to, you know, trying to gain favor politically and whatnot. My term's up at the end of this year. I indicated in that same statement that I'm not running in November of 2018 for another term. I did it because my conscience, I couldn't sleep, and my conscience was not clean. I didn't feel good. I didn't support that because I knew there was no way Michigan State could move forward with the same leadership and top atop the university that had allowed this, not knowingly, but to happen. But the bottom line is it happened under this administration's watch, and I knew that in order for the university to move forward, we had to clean that up.
Michigan State Board of Trustee Mitch Lyons is in studio, former Spartan, Big Ten tight end, also played with the Steelers and the Falcons. It has been hell week for Michigan State, and hell week maybe in the eyes of the survivors of the Larry Nassar monster debacle, that the survivors come first, but Michigan State has been on the defensive this week. From those victims in that courtroom as late as Tuesday to Luana K. Simon, the Michigan State president, resigning. All right, so when she's going to resign, Mitch, does the board get a heads up from Luana K. Simon that she's done? How'd that process work?
No, we were not alerted before, you know, it went public. I believe it was, I was actually coaching basketball. So, yeah, I had missed an email, with her statement, and then, our board statement, with Chairman Breslin stating that we'd accepted her resignation. So, and, you know, I read the resignation and, you know, I didn't think she really stepped up in a way that maybe could have promoted some healing. I didn't feel like there was any accountability to it.
Mitch, I haven't heard, you know, and I know there's a lot of compassion post day of public support 8 days ago, but from Joel Ferguson's interview to Luana's statement, there has been, and I think this is where the victims and their families remain infuriated. There hasn't been this compassion or urgency, and it's kind of kicked in now. And we'll get to Hollis, the AD resigning, and the outside the lines investigation. But every voice at Michigan State seemed like they initially, up until the last few days, seemed like they didn't care. People connected to Michigan State. Most voices lack compassion, lack the process to move on, and it just that I'm telling you, that's a big reason why the heat is still on Michigan State University.
Yeah, I think a big part of the perception stems from the fact that there weren't a lot of voices being heard, and quite frankly, that's why I wanted to come on with you tonight. It's why I made a statement regarding President Simon.
Why were they so quiet on this?
I think,
not quiet, but at times even callous and arrogant.
Yeah, I can't speak, for the statements that were made by fellow board member Ferguson. I know he's expressed remorse and what I felt was a heartfelt apology yesterday in our board meeting. But still, those words hurt. And then Luana in the courtroom, didn't come across real well. But I think I think more than anything, it's just been a paralysis around there to do anything.
Why?
Wrong. Because of the legal ramifications and everything. People are just, they're paralyzed by the unknown and the fear. I mean, it's obviously a horrific thing anyway, what's happened to these hundreds of girls and young women, and major civil lawsuit. So I think people have just been fearful to do or say the wrong thing, and lo and behold, we've managed to do it time and time again. And I think what was important for this board, we've certainly bear some responsibility on this, no question about it. I mean, looking back on it, there was things I would have demanded be done differently, knowing what I know now. I would have pushed earlier on for a truly independent investigation. Again, not because I think Pat Fitzgerald is not an upstanding man, and his team is, I think on. Again, hasn't found anything
criminal,
and I believe them in terms of what they found. Now, Attorney General Schuette's office has commissioned an outside independent investigator to go back and take all of Fitzgerald's findings and go even further. And I welcome that because I want to know the truth. As a father, I want to know the truth. I've got a daughter at Michigan State. I've got a daughter that dreams of going to Michigan State, and I want it to be a place where I feel comfortable with my daughters there. And so I welcome that. And from a PR standpoint, we couldn't have handled this any worse than we have. And
that's shocking for a school as big as Michigan State. It is, Mitch.
Yeah, and I think part of it is, I think being micromanaged a little bit and maybe being too...
Two lawyers first, maybe?
Lawyers first, but I would say that. I think that's a fair statement.
Didn't put the victims first like you should have. Going back to September 2016, there should have been a victim or survivors plan then.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were late to react. I mean, we did put in place a $10 million survivors fund to help, with any just counseling and whatnot. Looking back on it, I wish we'd done that sooner. We didn't. And for that, I'm sorry. But again, I mean, we've kind of been given tidbits of information, and it's frustrating that we didn't get stuff in a more timely fashion or gotten it at all in the case of the fact that, he came back before the criminal investigation was even done. The other thing that I didn't talk about was the part that I have a problem with as well, and I did from the time we first learned of it, was that in 14, we had outside, other doctors confirm, whether his treatment was correct or not, and we didn't go outside MSU to get those opinions.
There were four guys who knew NASA, or three, right?
Three physicians. I don't know that they were all male, but three physicians that were all in the College of Osteopathic Medicine. And I said to myself then, what, you know.
Who worked for Strample.
The optics on that aren't real good, you know. Whether they're, you know, legitimate and being truthful and all that, the optics are horrible. And so some of the stuff you look back at, it's just like, how did people look at that and not say, hey, this doesn't look good. Let's do this differently.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. It is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance at geico.com. DJ and Stu Kovacs with me for one more segment back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. Ridley will have an update here in just about 19 minutes. Michigan State Board of Trustee Mitch Lyons, former Spartan Big Ten tight end, played the NFL with the Steelers and the Falcons, joining us, taking us inside the Michigan State administration, the Board of Trustees meetings, talking about this timeline connected to the Nassar case, to the resignation of Michigan State President Luana K. Simon. And Mitch, this caught me off guard. And again, I do a statewide show in Michigan. The sudden press conference where revered AD nationally, Mark Hollis, in the wake of the Nassar scandal, the Nassar testimony in court, he announces that he's done as Michigan State athletic director.
Yeah, I was surprised, but not shocked. You know, Mark's a pretty insightful guy, and I think reading the tea leaves, where this thing was going, you know, I think the writing was on the wall. For the same reason, Luana Simon ultimately resigned. You know, she's heading the ship of the university. Mark's heading the ship of the athletic department, and obviously things were missed, you know, whether intentionally or not, you know, the ball was dropped in this entire deal. So, you know, I feel bad for Mark and his family, but, you know, it wasn't surprising.
NCAA letter of inquiry, you think that had a lot to do with it?
I don't know. I haven't had an opportunity to speak with him, but I think that, in my mind, I mean, even without that, you know, I think it would have been tough for Mark to stay on.
Did the board ever discuss, you know, when you look at, you know, firing to a hiring, you don't do that, but you can recommend somebody be removed. You talked about Luana K. Simon in that special meeting. Was there ever conversation about asking Mark Hollis to resign?
No, I don't ever recall that. Certainly, I mean, it crossed my mind. I mean, again, from the get-go, because of what was alleged in the clinic and amongst you know, trainers and coaches that were allegedly alerted. You know, obviously that's his department. So, I mean, it's unfortunate. And this entire situation, it was just telling my wife, you know, one sexual deviant, and you see the ripple effect he's had on the survivors, their families, their spouses. I mean, how that'll impact those families for generations. Not to mention everybody that he's impacted negatively at Michigan State as well. You know, families. You know, just the I mean, the victims, if they're in the hundreds, it's impacted tens of thousands, and it's more than that.
Is there anything Luana K. Simon and Mark Hollis could have done earlier, where they're still the president and AD at Michigan State? Any move?
I don't know. You know, as big as this thing got, I don't know that or has gotten. I mean, it's not even, you know, done yet. Who knows? But
maybe if Hollis would have fired Kathy Clay, just the gymnastics coach, instead of letting her resign, right? Maybe.
perhaps.
Luann, if she removes Trample in September 2016.
Maybe, you know, looking back, if more decisive action had been taken immediately. But again, because even back in 16, when I didn't think anybody was safe at that point, just because of the, you know, you can delegate authority, you can't delegate responsibility. And so even back then, I mean,
if you were the president of Michigan State back in September 2016, Mitch, when you found out about Nassar, you saw that timeline discrepancies. If you would have been president, what would you have done differently?
Dean Strappa would have been gone in my mind. I mean, I just think there's too much evidence that, you know, whether he even made the communication that needed to happen, the protocol changes, and there's not even clear evidence of that. The bottom line is it wasn't followed up on and it wasn't adhered to. So in my mind, that was kind of a done deal, and it didn't get done.
Anything Mark could have done, you think, that if you were president, if he would have fired the gymnastics coach a year and a half ago, that he survives this?
I don't know. I mean, with the other stories that came out about trainers being told and whatnot, it comes down to, in what we really need to focus on going forward as a university, is what was the culture? You know, why were girls not believed? And on one hand, I kind of understand. I mean, because, okay, this guy's he's the expert. This is how he does. This is how he fixes athletes. This is how he makes you better and be able to compete. You know, they were all fed that line and then that line of thinking. So when somebody comes to you, hey, he's doing this to me. Oh, yeah, that's, you know, hey, that's part of what he does. And yeah, it's uncomfortable, but to not, you know, obviously procedurally and our policies, you know, something was amiss there. And we have to make that right so that never happens again.
All right, speaking of the culture, ESPN Outside the Lines, right after Michigan State AD Mark Hollis resigns, that story hits that there is a culture of secrecy, there's a culture of bullying, you know, victims of sexual abuse with Tom Izzo in Michigan State basketball and Mark D'Antonio in Michigan State football. Do you believe at Michigan State that there's a culture where sexual abuse victims are just cast aside in favor of athletes?
I don't know enough about that story. I'm as interested as everybody else to see it. I will say this. I don't think any person is above this. If making change for the better would require a you know, a Tom Izzo or a Mark D'Antonio to step aside, I don't think that's out of the thinking. I mean, that would have to happen. Now, having said that, I haven't seen any facts or anything, or the allegations. Are they supported by facts? You know, all that is to come. Certainly, it's all going to be looked at. And there's, you know, I'm sure a lot more investigating whatnot. So I'm reserving judgment on that. I think just from what I know about Tom, Mark Hollis, Mark D'Antonio, you know, I have faith in him. You know, I believe in you're innocent until proven guilty. So whether they had any knowledge of anything going on or whether anybody in their program did, you know, we'll see. I mean, I have a hard time believing Mark D'Antonio or Tom Izzo would ever allow something like that. But again, there's a process to this, and we'll take a look at it.
For the board, Lansing State Journal editorial called for the Michigan State Board of Trustees all to resign. What's the future for the board, and what's the right path to start the healing process for Michigan State, the university?
Obviously, there's been a significant breach in trust, right? I mean, across this campus, administratively, down into the, you know, coaches, trainers, other people in the clinic that may have been able to somehow prevent this from continuing. And ultimately, you know, the board is the board of the university. And so I can certainly certainly understand why there's a public outcry for you know, the eight board members to step aside as well. And if that's what it comes to, you know, I can sleep at night knowing that my conscience is clear in terms of what, you know, that what we ever knew. I mean, the first I'd ever heard of Larry Nassar was September 16. Now, should the board have known something sooner? That's open to debate. I mean,
but the administration controlled that information pipeline, MSU administration.
Right. I mean, so there was no way, I mean, no way for this board to know anything prior to September 16th, because that was the first time anything about Larry Nassar, anything about a criminal investigation, Title IX, anything that a light was shed on it for us. Now, having said that, if it's in the best interest of this university to appoint an entirely new board, then so be it. Right now, all I can do and what we're focusing on as a board, our singular purpose is to try to get this university moving forward and on the right track. The first step was, you know, having Luana removed, Mark Hollis stepping down. You know, now our focus is initially getting an interim president in that can lead, can create that trust that we've lost, somebody that's respected in this state and nationally. We're you know, working on that.
Same thing with the new AD. I would assume the same credentials.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a national search for you know, certainly the permanent president will have a national search as well.
Has the board talked about, has it been discussed stepping down as a group, resigning?
Oh, hey, I think we're all realists in terms of the temperature out there, okay? And, you know, obviously some heat was created by comments made by certain trustees or stances taken or not taken. So I think we're all very cognizant of the public mood right now. But again, and I try, you know, I'm not just myself, but a number of us tried to stress this in our last meeting is, hey, the bottom line is we are elected to you know, oversee this university. And right now, the biggest thing we've got to do is help the survivors in any way, shape, or form we can, okay? And from the university standpoint, get an interim president in place so we can move forward with leadership that can gain trust. And then secondly is get to work on changing the culture at MSU, that this thing can never happen again.
Mitch Lyons, thank you so much for being open and honest and a voice that I think people connected to Michigan State University and even those listening across North America can respect. Good luck with that healing process, and we'll talk soon.
Okay? Thanks, Bill. I appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Mitch Lyons, Michigan State Board of Trustee member in studio on the Saturday Night Huge Show. If you have any comments about Mitch, at Saturday Huge on Twitter, and 1-855-212-4CBS.